Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. I am Naomi.
And I am Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of questions from a couple of listeners. Andy, let me just tell you, I'm so happy we're recording our intro in the morning.
This is the first thing. First, we fed the animals. Naomi had a little bit of breakfast, and this is for maybe you can hear the sleep in my voice.
I love it. I'm like slowly pivoting you to someone who gets stuff done and out of the way.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, because then it gives, not only don't you feel good once you get stuff done and out of the way, as opposed to being like, I've got to work my energy up to do this 15-minute thing at 6 p.m.
Yeah, no, I like having my energy naturally flow into my body, as opposed to like when we start this off, you know, we're both at the same energy level.
Yeah.
But Naomi, like, you could see her, like, the switch in her body flip.
What it's called is professionalism. Mm-hmm. It's called performance, Andy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you must just get it out there. And that's beautiful, because now, once this is done, you know what I get to do? I get to take a nap.
We haven't, so we're recording this obviously post Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it has been days of just like starches, like for every single meal. Were you not heavy? Like last night, my meal was leftover Trader Joe's fake turkey roast thing.
Yeah, your vegan field roast.
Vegan field roast. By the way, thank you. I forget the listener's name, but thank you for recommending it. It's better than tofurkey. But I toasted it up with some toasted brioche.
Made a little sandwich.
Made a sandwich. Mashed potatoes, honey roasted carrots, and mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And it has just been sitting there since.
Well, I will say, you know, you are the person who does have a solid 2 cups of mashed potatoes with every meal. You know, and that's on you. I think I've never understood how you can put so much mashed potato away.
Because they're so delicious.
It sits there, and then it just plugs you up. I'm bringing you green bean realness. I'm bringing you collard green realness. Something to break it up.
Do you think that was ever a category in the ballrooms?
Thanksgiving realness. The category is turkey sides and stuffing. That would be fun, actually.
Yeah, actually it would. But I mean, Thanksgiving was very fun, but it's just days and days of, you know, even with riding the exercise bike for half an hour and walking Mabel for 40 minutes in the evening, still not enough to counteract.
Nope, 2 cups of mashed potatoes. That's what I call potatoes. I just feel like, bleh. Like, even just mashed potatoes, when I see them, I'm just like, oh. I feel like you could be using them to, like, what's the word? Spackle a wall or something.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's kind of like spackle for your stomach.
It is stomach spackle.
Yeah. Before we get into the episode, Naomi, you know, we love to get reader comments.
I love it. I love positive feedback. Uh-huh. I also love feedback that maybe tells me when I'm wrong.
Sure.
I'm open.
Sure. We are very open, I would say. And I would say sometimes I do push back if I don't think we're wrong. This has always been my kind of like bellwether. Does one person write us? Usually it's their problem. More than one person writes us? That's our problem.
We got to look within?
Or we have to look within at least and see.
We have to look within.
So, okay. So, but sometimes, you know, mostly we just get comments saying like, hey, I got an idea too for your listeners. So do you remember, I forget what episode this is, but do you remember the person who wrote in and they were like, hey, I met my boyfriend in Quar or right before Quar. And now that things are opening back up again,
yes.
I've realized he is very loud and annoying in public.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him a lot, but loud and annoying in public. What do I do? Well, a listener called in.
I love this.
Left this voicemail.
I love it.
Let's take a listen.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. A couple weeks ago, you guys had a caller call in, and I have not been able to get their question out of my head since. So I figured I would go ahead and call and give my 2 cents because I don't think it was covered. The caller was calling because their boyfriend, who they have been seeing since the very start of the pandemic, was too loud in public, and they didn't realize it until they started going out into public with this new boyfriend. And now, even though she really likes him and finds his dorky little humor endearing, she's thinking about breaking up with him over it. And part of your advice was break up with him. And I wanted to say not to do that necessarily without taking a few steps first. And the reason is I was the loud partner. And if it hadn't been for my now husband speaking up and in very plain terms saying, I love you, but you are too fucking loud. And if you cannot quiet down, I will be forced to end our relationship because I can't handle it. If he hadn't been so very frank, I never would have taken it seriously, I don't think. And we could have ended our relationship without ever giving it a real start. And now we've been together 8 beautiful years, and I'm happier than I ever have been. I mean, even during the pandemic with him working from home and me working from home, me publishing my first novel, so much more. The point is we've been through huge stressors, and still we're closer now and more in love now than we ever have been. So I highly, highly recommend having a very frank conversation and just saying, you know, I really, truly love you or care for you, however you feel best wording it. But this is the problem. And if it doesn't change, I cannot continue this relationship. It has to change. And if you say it like that and he still can't change his volume or learn to monitor himself, and there's nothing wrong with his ears, then consider ending the relationship. But please give it a try first, because if something as simple as that can make a world of difference. Okay, that's all. Take care.
How do you feel about that? Ultimatums.
Well, not ultimate. I mean, you know, because we're hearing this advice from the loud partner.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, okay, if you could, granted, I will say, you know, I automatically assume it, even just the way she speaks seems like she's like a thoughtful, measured person.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, but we're talking about telling this to a man. But at the same time, yeah, she's right. I'm like, she's right, of course. I thought we did also say, but like, again, maybe we didn't. Was like, yeah, you have obviously have to say, it's like, I need you to bring it in.
Uh-huh.
Or we cannot be together, or at the very least, we cannot be together in public spaces.
Yeah. Maybe we said, I don't remember, but at the very least, I do like hearing it from the other side of the equation.
Exactly. That's something like that.
Because usually it's like, to me, ultimatums seem a little if you're at that stage, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, but I think it's different when it's an ultimatum like this.
Sure, for something like just like, hey, you're a little loud in public.
Right. It's like, if you don't change this, we can. And as I said, that's why what I said is like, you and I can't be out in public together. I'm like, I love you, bless, but you and I are not going out to any public space that involve you talking. I think with something like this, it can feel a little less harsh. Yeah, even though it is an ultimatum in a way.
It's tough. Like, you know, we were at a social event on Saturday. It doesn't matter. We were over the weekend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're like, we separated for, I think, like a good deal of the thing. Yeah, and we're talking really to separate people. And we say that a lot on this. I mean, not just gotta miss a bitch, but you gotta miss a bitch even at the same event.
Absolutely. And that's funny. It's funny because I was thinking about that afterwards. I was like, oh, I'm really happy because you and I didn't know too many people there. So I was surprised. I didn't know if we would actually break off. Do you know what I mean? Because once we got there and it was like, oh, it's not. Because I thought it was just going to be people we knew. And then we got there and it was like new people. And I was like,
mostly new people.
I was like, I am not here to get to know people. I'm not here to connect with a stranger. So then I was like, uh-oh. But then I was like, oh, we did it. We did fine. Or like at one point, you know. I think it helped that one of your really good friends was there, so then you and him just like chilled.
But no, I just talked to strangers. You know what? You know what? You can. I will say this as an introvert, as an indoor kid, you can learn to talk to strangers.
Yeah, you can. You can. It's hard. It's a lot of work. you will have to dig deep within your soul to find the reserves necessary. And
you will have to, like, this is what I do. I like, whatever my first instinct is, even if it's going to, like, I just suppress it, even if it's going to cause there to be silence for a little bit. What I think about what a normal, quote unquote, normal human would say.
Yes.
What someone in a beer commercial would say as a response.
You always say beer commercial, but you know someone in a beer commercial would just say twins.
But that's my shorthand, Naomi, I know.
For society, general society.
Yeah, general society.
Basicness.
So you suppress the first, your instinctual response.
Yep.
You think for a moment, and then you say what the beer commercial person would say. And then you're like, okay.
What have you watched recently? Is that what the beer commercial person would say?
Well, someone said something insane about, like an insane way to deal with the homeless problem here in Los Angeles. God. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to get into a fight over this in the middle of someone else's party.
Right.
So I just stopped. I'm like, I there was like a long 10-second pause as I'm like, uh-oh. And I'm just like, well, yeah, there are a lot of different ways to deal with. And, you know, the addendum to that being like some less humane than others. Some not fully giving unhoused people full autonomy, like your solution.
Well, how did it feel, though? I'm very proud of you, but I also know that's very hard for you to keep your... Not because I think you like to be very honest and you don't want to feel like you're betraying yourself.
It doesn't matter. This person's not a policy person. If this person was on city council, I would have been like, what is wrong with you?
I see.
Right.
I see.
But like, they're just a person,
but like a random person with a bad idea.
Yeah. And they didn't even live in Los Angeles. So they're,
I see.
Can't even vote for like, you know,
garbage
for
policy.
Like someone like Nithya who, you know, has actual solutions of what, such as building housing. Right. So, you know, it's not difficult. And what does it matter? This person, their opinion doesn't really matter. It's just like, it's like the same thing where like people argue on Twitter. Who cares? Yeah, what's it going to do?
You're right.
Hey, everyone, think about that.
What's
mute.
It gonna do?
Mute.
Mute.
Mute. Mute. Mute the people you don't like because it's not going to, because it doesn't matter. Hey, do you know what does matter though?
What?
Our guest today.
Okay, this was actually like, fun, heartwarming, surprising, made me think maybe I have a new friend or could have a new friend.
Who's our guest?
Well, honey, today we are talking to Ego Wodum. Yes, you know her from Saturday Night Live. If you were here in Los Angeles, you know her from UCB. You may also know her from her appearances on podcasts like Comedy Bang Bang.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's when I first wrote. We wrote her a while ago, and just because of her schedule, it took a while to talk to her. But I was just like, so I'm a huge fan of your characters at Comedy Bang Bang. Would you be yourself? Would you take our hands and be yourself?
And
on couples therapy.
And she did. And she was. She really did come to us. She came to us with an open heart and a loose butt.
Yeah.
Okay. We did talk about IBS. So an open heart and a loose butt. And we're so very grateful.
Yeah. I gotta say, what a lovely human.
A truly lovely human.
Speaking of lovely humans.
Yes, lovely humans and comedy. I'm loving your segues. This is correct.
Yeah, we have a little PSA we wanted to read you very quickly.
Absolutely. We wanted to talk to you a little bit about Comedy Gives Back, Laughing for Good. Because on December 9th, comedians, comedy clubs, and venues all over the country are pledging to raise awareness of Comedy Gives Back and the Laughing for Good initiative. This one-night national holiday fundraiser will help Comedy Gives Back continue to provide safety nets for the comedy community in the form of medical treatment, financial assistance, and more. As we all know, the COVID-19 pandemic has been devastating for everyone. It has also been especially devastating on live performance, and comedians need help more than ever. And you can help. So consider making a recurring donation this Giving Tuesday. No matter how big or small, just text LAUGH to 707070 to donate.
Mm-hmm. And I'll throw this out there, Naomi.
Throw it out there, Indy.
If you have a little extra cash.
Wow, okay.
It is Hanukkah. And Naomi, I do believe you have Jubu t-shirts.
Well, can you think of any better Hanukkah gift than a Jubu t-shirt?
No.
Absolutely not.
Literally not. Not even if you had a valise full of latkes.
We've got two great styles. They're very soft, honey. And give them to the Jubu in your life, okay?
Yeah, so just go to the link tree in either of the Instagram or the Twitter bios.
Also
or,
my Instagram bio.
And hey, if you have an extra $15 or whatever, we got lots of other t-shirts.
That's true.
Gotta Miss a Bitch t-shirts.
Gotta Miss a Bitch, Couples Therapy logo. The point is, you got options, honey, to be warm and cozy this holiday season. But okay, look. I've told you enough about how to spend your money. Okay? You got to make your own choices. I'm not your mother. I'm not your accountant. Do what feels right in your heart. Because you know what? We got an episode to drop. Roll it! Ego, I think of you as someone who's generally happy, loving life. Granted, this might be the first time we're having a real conversation. And yet, this is what I get. That's the energy I get. That you're just like living, loving life, giving us Colgate smile, giving us clear skin and Footloose fancy free vibes.
Oh, man, that is high praise. I truly today just had a conversation about people whose natural disposition is to be happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'm one. But I love that that's what I'm giving. It's giving happy. It's giving cold.
Yes.
But I would say my disposition is not generally unhappy or depressed. I would say it's neutral. Uh-huh. It's neutral, but I skew happy, if that makes sense. It's neutral. It's anxious. Reads mm-hmm. neutral.
Mm-hmm. Reads neutral or feels neutral?
My anxiety feels neutral to me. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Right. So you feel like a natural state. Yes.
Because I live there. I have IBS as well. I'm happy to delve into that. and that's intertwined with the anxiety. But I would say I'm generally neutral. I do try to skew happy though. I do. I feel like it's clear to me that I was a happy child at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know when I went more neutral, but I feel that at my core there is a joy. Mm-hmm. However, you know, often days I feel somewhere neutral to slightly happy. Yeah.
Ah, so in some way you are like you put me and Naomi in that fly machine.
Interesting.
In the machine from the fly, and then you popped out.
You think so? Yes,
basically. Yeah.
Are you? Do you have a happy core, Andrew?
With a tinge by anxiety.
All right, I guess.
No?
I think of you as someone...
Hold on.
Your partner is dubious. That's very telling.
My dear wife, my inside skew? Because I would say skews towards joy with injected by a madman with anxiety.
Interesting. I think, you know, you hate most things. You know, the world is ending and burning and... You know what I mean? Like, there's no hope for our future is the vibe I get from you.
Right.
But, you know, nevertheless, you persist.
Right.
Creatively is what I feel, which is like you work, you do things in spite of that. But you're well aware that, you know, you're constantly talking about like a living hell or a hellscape or dying capitalist structure. You know what I mean? Like, so.
But inside.
This is not for Ego to have to arbitrate.
No, because, no. Well,
I would like to. Is that what this is? Is that what you brought me here to do?
Yeah.
I'm happy to. I just need a little more information from both parties before I'm able to impartially share my opinion. But I mean,
do you get a joy skewing vibe from me, I guess, is what we're asking.
Yeah, now it's on you. Do you get a joy skewing vibe?
This is, I'm in a hot seat. Do you don't give me not joy. I just feel there has to be some middle ground. You don't give me full joy at all times, but you don't give me unhappy either. I feel like there's, I bet you the larger portion of the population, this is based on no science whatsoever, in my mind is like, most people are neutral. Most people are neutral. But I think that you laugh because it's wrong. but it's what I'd like to believe. But that's not reality, maybe.
Where did you grow up? Because you're thinking like you were a happy child. Where did you grow up?
Baltimore, Maryland. I was born in Baltimore. I spent 2 years in Lewisburg, West Virginia, where my mother was going to medical school.
Oh, Dr. Mom.
Dr. Mom, indeed.
Wow.
And so I, but then we went back, and then I did a year in New Jersey, Piscataway, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I say it like it's doing time.
I know.
Well, you did time in Piscataway. And then I eventually found myself back in Baltimore. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now you've further complicated this.
Oh, wow. Tell her, Andy.
Well, joy to me, someone neutral with skewing to joy. I was going to guess West Coaster. I was going to guess you were a West Coaster.
I've been getting a lot of people thinking I'm from the West Coast, which I'm tempted. Love the West Coast. Came of age on the West Coast. I feel when people say that to me, I do find myself mildly insulted as like a woman who's like, I'm East Coast to the death of me. I go, oh, okay. And you guys are not, you are not in a small group of people. In fact, like 2 weeks ago, my dresser at SNL was like, you're from California, right? And I'm like, no. So, but I did live there. I went to college there and then didn't leave until I got hired at SNL and now live in New York. But no. Where are you guys from?
Now, I'm from New York. We're okay. East Coasters. Yeah, I'm from New York.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
True slap in the face. Be told I'm giving California my East Coasters. Heart is breaking right now, but that's okay.
Well, it's just because you're loving life, you know, and seem, you know, again, I know the anxiety is inside, but outwardly you're projecting like things are going great. I'm just seeing you and Bowen posing on Instagram, constantly just being like, look at us, we're young.
Oh,
we're young and we work on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, I'm telling you, if I worked on Saturday Night Live, you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't see me post. I wouldn't talk about it. I'd be in a corner all day, every day, just being like, maybe I'll be in something. Maybe I'll be in something. And then, like,
I just feel like, you know what? Did I do something wrong? Okay, I might have done something wrong. Hold on,
well,
guys.
You are holding the plug of your headphones. So that doesn't sound good.
Wait, talk again. Wait,
say okay, something. We're talking.
I'm ruining this. Okay. I just need to explain to you what just happened. I'm still recording here, so this will all be in the pod. This will all still be on the pod, all as well. What happened is, guys, I started to panic halfway through. This is the anxiety we speak of. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not hearing them in my headphones. I'm hearing them on my computer. And I don't want to ruin your recording. But now I think I'm insane. And just let's pretend this never happened. And I'm going to speak to me and Bowen posting on. okay. So, see, you've never been close to me, Naomi. That's where you're. Also, my job just makes me a more anxious person, by the way. And I do think I skew that way. And then I did move to California and became like a really calm version of myself. I won't say the calmest person, but like a pretty like nothing matters. I don't need to cuss anyone out today. Like we don't cuss people out anymore. And now I'm back in New York and I'm like, or East Coast. And I'm like, and I'm on edge at all times. Anyway, Bowen and I, that is, I don't want to call it a facade because we are joyous with amongst ourselves. We are full of joy, full of love, full of light. However, our job is so stressful. As I've just said, it has sent me, it's just all the parts of me that the perfectionist in me who wants things to go exactly right. And like you work in live TV, that's not really possible, but that's I think people could assume that's not great for a perfectionist, but like just the details of the day to day at our job and how unpredictable it can be from day to day have made me quite stressed. But I do think I do a pretty good job of managing it. But Bowen and I, yeah, we look so happy, and we are. We are. We're married.
And
And we're happy together. I think we try to find joy at work when we can, right? Like how it is, and like it looks. And I think we make it look really fun. And in many ways, it is and can be, but it's also a lot of other shit too. So.
Right. Y'all started the same year, right? So you were like in the same class, same cohort.
In a sense, yes, because he was a writer my first season. So we did come in together. He was a writer. I was a cast member. He and I would work on a lot of stuff together, much of which never saw the day. Well, and maybe we'll never see the light of day. But we did a lot together and like failed a ton together. And so that's how our bond was formed. And Naomi, I still am laughing about a joke you told maybe 3 minutes ago internally. I'm trying to present like serious, but I just have to get it out. You saying, well, you are holding the cord in your hand, saying, I think I did something.
It looked very unplugged. And I thought, well, it can't possibly be okay.
Yeah. I was troubled over here. But anyway, I had to get that off my chest.
Whatever those sketches you haven't done, when UCB opens back up, why not?
Oh my gosh. Are you? And so, okay. Formally, I do. Okay. I'm going to say you are in the happy camp. You are an optimist. Just based on that, we hope UCB returns and you sound confident.
You can do a spank. They may not like give you a run right away. You can do a spank for sure. You and Bowen.
Happy to do a spank.
Okay. So hold on. The East Coast, and being doing live TV, obviously that amplifies the anxiety. But let's dig deep. Where's the anxiety start? What are the origins?
Yeah, was it Dr. Wodum saying, "Don't you dare embarrass me"?
Oh my goodness! You know, a little bit. Dr. Wodum's like the most chill. I'm allowed to say this because I'm Nigerian, but she's the most chill Nigerian I think I've met. One of the more chill ones I've ever met in my life. An impression of her that is like a high-strung Nigerian parent, but it's fun because it's not actually an accurate reflection of how my mom is. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm the youngest of four. I think Nigerians tend to be overachievers, and it's kind of in our blood. It's part of the culture. Like me.
Can you tell my dad? Because when it comes to raising me, he was under.
well, as was mine, but but overachievers career-wise, so I can't take that from him. career-wise, and as far as academia goes, I didn't have a lot of pressure on me though either. I feel like my mom is a single mom, and I think I did a lot of adulting at a young age myself, like just being like super responsible. And
You must. But also you had siblings, right? So like you also had to do that too. Like I was an only child, so I didn't have necessarily to account for anyone else. Do you know what I mean? Or like help keep things in order. But most certainly it was like, you had to be good because Elizabeth has enough on her plate. You know what I mean? So you can't be out here acting.
Yes. I felt that way. I felt that way growing up. It was sort of like, I'm the youngest. Everyone else is on the straight and narrow. I'm going to just do the same. That's not like wilding out. Never. If I'm being honest too, it never really appealed to me. I don't know how I was raised that it just did, like being a real wild child did not appeal to me. And my mom has said that I've always been responsible. Like even as a, 5-year-old answering the phone at home, and people are like, how old is she? And she's like, she's 5. And they go, oh wow. Cause I had a full adult exchange with her. I think that and feeling like I have to take care and make sure things are in order myself because my parent had so much to juggle. And like you said, I didn't want to be the other thing on her plate that's like giving her a headache. So I think that I'm like, I'm like soccer mom with no kids and no relation to sports. I'm just like, and the lunch is packed and everyone's right. Listening. I'm gonna make a chart and we're going to have everything will be in order and I'm planning for tomorrow. But weirdly, I'm also a procrastinator. so I don't know. I'm a weirdo.
But when you procrastinate, like, is it just the stuff you don't want to do? You know what I mean? Or is it procrastinating when it comes to sort of work stuff? I mean, because I would assume, you know, I think I saw you at UCB for the first time, you know, doing a show. And I get the sense that, you know, you said
was it the character show that Scott Aukerman never went to?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Scott never went to Great Black Women. And then there's me. And so that was just a long running joke that Scott was just never going to come despite my inviting him. Yes, that one maybe.
Yes, probably. And then I get the sense that, you know, you knew what you wanted to do from a young age and you kind of hit the ground running between going to college in L.A. and then mm-hmm. getting into the UCB thing.
Yeah.
So it seemed like you were like eye on the prize type of person.
Yes, I was. I'm like, and I think I've always been like that part. But I will listen. So when I was applying to USC I wanted to get to L.A. to get to the acting. I like had good grades, really good grades. But I was like, oh, you could make your college application like sort of ironclad if you got straight A's next quarter. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll get straight A's. It was like, all right.
She just said it. She just says it. And it
yeah. I just go, I'm going to get straight A's because I'm like, that means I just have to apply myself a little bit more and like make sure, but they were already good, strong grades. And I was like, let's really make it, you know, seal the deal.
I get that.
But again, is there a reason I wasn't doing that the rest of high school when it was clear I could, if I gave just a touch more of a shit. And so like, yes, I am eye on the prize, but I also will do math and negotiate with myself about how much time I have really to do anything. So a good example of this is I worked as an admissions counselor at a like sort of second chance university, sort of university. It was non-name brand University of Phoenix type thing. Uh-huh. And I had an office. This is while I was an actor and like this is my day job.
University of Scottsdale.
Yes, exactly. Yes, correct. I want to name the school so bad, but I won't. I would be in my office and they can't fire me now because I'll never work there again. But I used to like, I worked 6.5 hour shifts and I would have a set amount of like work I needed to do for the day. And it was up to me to like get my work done in X amount of time and by the end of the week or whatever. And so I would come in and I could do like negotiate and do math and be like, well, if I just chill for the first 3 hours and like check my email and read news stories and then like have my lunch break and then take my lunch and then come back and then read my work emails and finish all the stuff I said to do, I will get all my work done today. So I would do that. So mm-hmm. some people might do their work first and then be like, yes. And I chill for the next few. And I'd be like, it'll help me get through the day. If at the end of it, it's like stressful and
I get that. That's every one of my day jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Like just being like, yeah, the first half is for me. And then the second half, it'll be for the company. Yeah, it just depends. Like I'm really bad at responding to emails. You guys probably experienced that with trying to communicate with me concerning this. I'm really bad at it. Emails and texts give me anxiety.
I understand that.
It takes energy you don't have that you'd rather put into something else.
Yeah. And like
Candy Crush or like comedy or something like that.
That's the sick thing is that yesterday I had the day off and like my boyfriend was like, what did you do today? And I was like, well, I don't know. I didn't leave my home. I was like, didn't leave home. This is real. I was like, I didn't do anything. And then he's like, did you turn on the TV? And I go, I didn't turn on the TV. At no point did the TV come on. Did you read a book? Nope. Don't know what I did. But, so when I say I'd rather be doing something, it's chill, I guess I'd rather be chilling, but also I do have a lot going on, which is why yesterday was nice to just be sitting. Yeah. Generally speaking, then the emails are a thing like, or I'll see an email and be like, very good, I'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. And then I forget to, or text messages. And then I'll be like, I would love to respond to this person.
Yep.
It's going to require a little more thought and time than like I have right now. I'll get back to it and then I forget. And I just want to pitch that Apple come up with marking text messages unread so you can remember.
Yes,
to go back
absolutely.
To it.
Oh, I wish you could. Yeah. By the way, were you in a sensory deprivation tank yesterday?
Yeah, like you did absolutely nothing.
When I tell you, a cleaning person was supposed to come clean my home for the first time. And I was like, that'll be a treat. But then they couldn't find my home because they didn't know how to use Apple Maps or Google. Like, and I'm not trying to be condescending. Yeah, genuinely, yeah. I was like, don't know how. And I was like, and I don't know New York well enough to help you get here. So I guess we'll just call it. And so I was like, my apartment's not even messy. It's just been a nice treat. And then I sat on the couch. I remember this happening. Ordered food. enough for lunch and dinner, I thought.
We love that. Very smart. Yeah. That's how I do.
Exactly, that's right? You got to do it for both. MO. Right,
yep,
right. Because they'll get you otherwise. Otherwise, okay. I mean, they're getting us either way, but at least it's like we have some control in this way. So ate some mozzarella sticks.
Andy? Yeah.
See, I'm telling you.
Mozzarella sticks?
Andy is mozzarella sticks. Okay, that's his brand.
The New York Times wrote some article like suddenly mozzarella sticks are hot, as if like the New York Times has not been paying attention for the last 40 years. But the number of people, either fans of the show or friends of mine, that sent me that article prove that there is. I've pitched this T-shirt for this show, which is like a skull and bones, but the bones are mozzarella sticks and the skull is my head.
And that's the truth.
I don't know if it would sell. I just pitched it.
I'm sure it will sell. I'm sure it would sell. I'd buy it.
Listeners?
I love that your mozzarella sticks. By the way, I would buy it. By the way, no, I have no stake in this company or this restaurant, but there's a restaurant called Carne Mare and it's like around the seaport, and they put caviar on their mozzarella sticks. And I got to say, I don't think I'd had caviar before, and it seems like doing too much.
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? Mozzarella sticks are complete. But if you ever want a bougie twist, head over there.
Bougie twist.
Ever
no,
since
Andrew
big,
will never.
First,
Andrew
I'm a vegetarian,
never.
So it's not going to happen. But like, even before that, after watching Big as a child.
What happened in Big?
He caviar.
Did he?
He eats the little corn on the cob, tiny corn on the cob. And then there's caviar. I don't want to.
Okay.
I'm basically Big.
That's true. You are Big.
You are Big.
And not Mr. Big.
No.
Nope. Nope.
No. Because,
we're not
because then you'd be working. You'd be shooting right now, right?
Hey, yeah.
That's true. Absolutely.
You'd be shooting.
So you had your mod sticks to start for lunch.
Yes. And then, when I tell you.
Considering you have IBS, that was also very brave to have mozzarella sticks.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, then it did set the IBF off. Because sometimes IBS, which not IBF. irritable bowel fuck is how I do feel about the disorder. I was already kind of having an episode. And then sometimes when I'm having one, if it's not so bad, I go, fuck it and fuck you and fuck this. I don't deserve it. And my food is like my one vice, if food can be counted as a vice, honestly.
Too. Wow, this is Andy too.
I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Yeah. I do eat mozzarella sticks a
lot. It's really all I care about. It's really, it's a gigantic portion of my personality. And so it feels really fucked up that I have IBS. So anyway, I sometimes rebel against it and I'll just, I'll raw dog it. I won't take a lactate.
Yeah.
I was like, did you take a lactate? And I go, absolutely not. My body is going to get adjusted to this somehow. And so, and I'm fully lactose intolerant. But anyway, I had that. I feel like I remember standing up to do something in the kitchen after the mozzarella sticks. FaceTimed with my friend, caught up with her about the week she had.
It's like an alien abducted you and you just have this lost time.
No, truly. It was really bizarre. That's the dishwasher beeping. I've got a dishwasher, which I have.
Hold on. Do you have anxiety? Like, do you have anxiety over like bougie stuff? Cause we have a dishwasher too.
But I never thought to feel guilty about it or call it out.
Well, I think I feel guilty because here's the thing. I didn't grow up using a dishwasher, and I'm talking like, when I moved to New York was really the first time I was like, I'm going to use this dishwasher on a day that's not a holiday. And I like, live like, and like, we had a dishwasher in our house growing up. And it went untouched. So like our house was built. One of those houses built for you, like pick what color shutters mm-hmm. you want, whatever. And when we moved out of that house, that dishwasher still had the like tag inside of it. Like we had hosted many a dinner party, many a holiday at my home. I didn't know how to use a dishwasher. Like what, like I didn't, I, when I really tell you like stuck right now, because I'm like, dishwashers. I was like, people use those. That sounds cool. We had one and we didn't use it. Like, it was just like, well, why wouldn't you just hand wash? So I do have some guilt about it because I'm like, oh, I guess I'm a dishwasher bitch now. And I live alone. And as you heard, I ordered food yesterday. So these dishes are old ass dishes too. They're like, used them a year ago. And I'm like, we should wash these now.
You and Naomi are living parallel lives.
It's so true. I mean, like, sometimes I wish I could live alone to do exactly what you're saying, which is just like eat two meals out. No judgment. You know what I mean? Use the
dish. I'm not judging you. You just feel like this.
Yes. It's also just like you bear. Thank you. A person bearing witness even. Do you know what I mean? Like he's not actually like checking in as much as he can now bear witness to the gluttony and laziness. And I would just really prefer to just be doing that in private. And then I can just go out into the world being like, I got a new attitude. You know? And it's like, no one knows.
I get that. Well, what's nice is living alone, I always thought I'd love it. And I did spend a lot of time alone as a kid, just single mom working. And I'm good at entertaining myself. Mm-hmm. Also fairly easily entertained, but like also that's loaded because easy is subjective here. But I hadn't lived alone though. Oddly, like as much as time as I felt I spent on my own as like a youth, I had roommates up until right before I left LA, I got an apartment on my own and I was like, oh, this is weird. I get to just do whatever I want in here. I can like leave that stuff all out on the couch and it's not going to bother someone when they come like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. So I have to say it is really nice and I am enjoying it. I know I plan to be married, and have children. And so I'm truly leaning in so hard to the mm-hmm. life, my space, my time, very aware that this is temporal for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do lean in. Yeah. I didn't do shit. I then started to eat pizza because that was part of the order later.
It's great. Wow. You also, really did say fuck this IBS.
Fuck the motherfuck the IBS.
IBF. For sure.
I'm also IBF. Fuck. I'm now remembering though, as we talk, that I think two of my meatballs are still in the fridge and I will be happy.
Okay, did you get a tour of Italy platter? What is this? Mozzarella pizza meatballs?
Lucky. Here's the thing. Caviar got me good because they know I spend on there. Mm-hmm. And I sent me a coupon and I have an email address that's like specifically for all marketing foods. Stuff. Yeah. And like, I don't see if like this clothing store is having a huge sale or Sephora is whatever. But I'll check it sometimes because I give that email not for pertinent things, but like my shipping records will be there. So I was in that email on Friday and I saw, it's Thursday. And I saw, 25% off when I order anywhere on Caviar. And I use Caviar.
Okay, I'm not getting 25% off.
I think the code is 5, by the way, if you
Thank
need
you.
To. Hey, no, hold on. Not on this show. I'm bleeping that out. We're not giving them a plug. They have not bought any ad space.
Don't plug them. I know, that is crazy.
But it is my primary app, so I guess.
I'm just bleeping great. It. Folks. Cut,
bleep it out, bleep it out, bleep it out.
Hear that bleep.
Okay, so, yeah.
Wait, girl. I got three major questions.
Oh, wow, okay. So let's pivot.
We're going to answer, because we're going to answer some audience, some listener advice questions.
Okay, great. Right.
One. Anxious child?
Question mark?
Were you an anxious child? Question mark. When does the anxiety creep into your life?
I know. Well, that's...
I really want to know when it...
No. I'd love to... The closest thing to anxiety that you're asking me this in real time, I'm going, when I think about how anxious I am now, and I'm not... You wouldn't know it It's just mm-hmm. me wanting things to go well. I'm not like, I don't spin out about like all the ways things can go wrong. That's not the way it manifests. I'm just like, we need to be on time. And now I'm running 5 minutes late. And that, you know, that mm-hmm. that's me. And I'm remembering a specific story when my brother and sister were graduating high school. They graduated the same time. They were not the same age. My sister's real smart. And they graduated. It was 97. Don't remember how old I would be then. 9 years old. And they're graduating from high school. And a bunch of us family members are going to their graduation. And whoever's in charge, I'm nine, is like late to take some of us who are still waiting to get in a different car. And I just had like a whole meltdown about like missing their graduation. But I'm like, it was just like, why are we late? Why do we have to be late? That's the earliest memory of that I can mm-hmm. have. But I'm not like a like, oh, I'm worried and I'm scared. It's just like, I need things to go as, it's not only say as planned. It's just that there needs to be order. That's like
regimented.
But guys, I'm weird because my life is a mess in many ways and in good, like good mess. But I'm like, I'm also pretty like, I don't fucking know. So it's weird. It's just about what I care about or if I'm like, or thinking about what other people think of me as far as like punctuality and such goes. I don't know where that stems from because I seem to be the only person in my family that cares about punctuality.
Well, that, okay. So this also leads to the second, because you are like saying you are weird. I do find your, like your characters, one of the reasons why I think your characters are so funny is because they are weird, whimsical even.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but I find that like this industry allows white people to be weird and whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
And it often does not allow black people. Or non-white people to
be particularly
weird.
Black women. Like we always have to be women. Like, I'm coming to you with the real, you know?
Yeah, and I got
like,
the best advice and I'm strong and I know what's going on and don't mess with like, what I found like with my characters too, is like on, it's namely on Comedy Bang Bang, where I feel like I get truly free range to do whatever the hell I want, which is why I have so much fun doing it, is I love flipping that a little bit, because if the notion is that like a black woman or the characters I play are supposed to be strong, I'm like, what's fun to me is having my characters be like strong, indignant, but wrong, like just absolutely wrong and not making any sense. That feels fun to me. Whereas like normally I feel like we have to be so straight and together are expected to be or expected to play those sort of roles. It's fun to me to be like, or I'll give you strong, but I'm going to be absolutely wrong. And you're not going to want to follow my lead. And I'm not the like old wise owl. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. How about that? Uh-huh. You want to take this advice, walk right off this cliff with me.
So in the living hell that is this industry, how did you not have that squeezed out of you? Like fresh orange.
I sometimes don't feel like, it's interesting. I'm like, the industry, am I in the industry? I feel in many ways outside of the, I guess I am in it, but I'm like, I haven't drank the Kool-Aid, I suppose. I have not drank the Kool-Aid in many ways. I also, what's fun to me and rewarding to me is doing improv and getting to do Comedy Bang Bang. Obviously when UCB comes back, I'll be able to do improv on stage again, but like,
you and doing a spank.
We're going to do it. We're going to do a spank Thursday, 5 p.m. Be there, please. Got to fill these seats. We need butts and seats. But like, I think that starting with the improv, I think was really, there's something really freeing about it. And improv is its own beast too. And the demographics of improv aren't often reflective of the real society for a number of reasons. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like mine. And even at times where I felt like challenged to kind of fall into a role or play things that I don't want to play or just be pigeonholed in a way, I was sort of so protective about my experience as an improviser to be like, no, this is my baby that made me happy and will continue to make me happy. And no one's going to make this an unenjoyable thing for me. And so I think having like the outlets outside of, standard industry, like true industry work, is what's helped me not have all that sucked out of me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Third question.
Ooh, third question. Okay, the third.
Ego, with your eyes on the prize. Yes. Where does love, where does romance factor in?
I know, because you said so factually, you were like, I will be married with children.
Yes.
And this is my time alone. And it's like, okay, so obviously that's something that has been part of the plan.
Yes, part of the plan, but only with the right person. I'm not, it's really important to me. I think relationships are the most important thing in the world. I'm not saying anything so profound, but that is my, like, that's my stance. And that means familial, friendships, romantic, whatever. But I absolutely, it's a priority to me, but to be in a good relationship. However, I'm in a relationship now, but I was never a person who was like overly romanticizing partnership. Or being like, I wasn't like into like Disney and Disney princesses or anything or finding my prince charming. I have a friend that was, and it's really beautiful and special, but like, that was just never that wasn't me. And so I'm for partnership if it feels right. And so I've actually been single for most of my life, because
really,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But your eyes are being stunning.
Oh,
what are you telling me?
Yes. I've been single up until, last year. I was just a perpetual single. And
wait, for real? Like, not even like dating or like hooking up or like anything?
Well,
like that?
Dating.
Come on. She's gonna get a little something.
Something. But no, dating, but I didn't want to be tethered to, I was really career focused. I continue to be, but like, I was very career focused, and I didn't see the value in tethering myself to somebody, like the wrong somebody or someone that didn't make sense or feel right or feel right for me. Like, I could have had a boyfriend, like, surely. I know for a fact I could have. We won't tell tales. but I just never, it was never the right time, or it was not even time. Let me be real. It's not even about time. It wasn't, the right person. So I'm with the right person now, and that feels great. And it feels like actually exceeds my expectations as far as like what I thought it would be, to be in partnership. And so I'm like, yeah, this feels right and great and lovely and exactly what I hoped for. So beyond. Yeah.
Wow.
But like, what was the, like, literally no relation? Sorry. I'm just like, really, like,
yeah, no,
not
no,
even
no.
Like a week. Like, I dated this guy for a week. Like,
no,
that's not a thing.
No,
dating someone for a week.
I had a boyfriend in sixth grade for 3 days, So if that counts,
And then you were single from sixth grade to a year ago?
Till last, 2020. Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Free bird getting it in. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about the free bird part, but yeah.
So having been, you know, single, doing your own thing for your adult life, I wonder if, you said I can't really bring him up, the boyfriend.
You can.
But you're in a long distance situation right now, which I feel, though, makes sense given that, you know, you are a very independent person, right? So you're now in a relationship that really kind of gives you your space and your ability to have a mozzarella stick day
and mozzarella
without dealing.
But also, what's so dreamy is being able to be in partnership with a person who, I mean, pretty early in our relationship, the IBS / we went on a trip and I got food poisoning, which food poisoning loves me. They saw me pretty down and out pretty early on. And so after that happened, I mean, honestly, even before that happened, but especially after that happened, I'm like, oh, you can see all of me. It doesn't even matter now. Mm-hmm. And we're actually, both of us split our time between New York and LA. So, but I've always thought like I'm well suited for a long distance relationship unrelated to this current relationship. I've always just been like, yeah, I'm well suited for one because I do like my space. And when we're working in season at SNL, I am so consumed with that, and don't have much space for anything that's going to be too stressful or difficult or time consuming. And so I've always been like, yeah, I think I'd do great. And when I did live in LA and I would talk to guys that were not my person, I would be like, this works for me, for you to not be here. This works great for me. And so, yeah, I'm so independent, and I do value my space. And but it just works. So we go back and forth, and we have so many pockets of free time during SNL as well. Mm-hmm. That COVID, like our COVID schedule, this season and last season feels a lot more overwhelming and like confining than in previous years, because we used to have a lot of free time in between episodes. Not a ton, but like a good, like it was a wonderful balance. And now it's a little more like you're here, mm-hmm. and you're going to do 5 episodes in a row. So. But yeah, I was single, but I wasn't missing anything. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. here's a fun anecdote I think is fun. I get to deem it fun, right? I used to, when I was working at that job where I would be like, oh, I forgot. I used to be on GChat at that job. Right.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Talking to my friend. She was a lawyer. She was in her office. We were on GChat just hanging. She was doing a clerkship and I was working as an admissions counselor. And we were on GChat and I sent her this Thought Catalog article, and Thought Catalog at the time, I don't know if it's still big, but like was a thing. And so I sent her this article and it said the 10th person you kiss is going to be your, or the 20th person, I think it was something like that. I don't know. Like the person you end up with forever. And so we started to be like, okay, let's go through our numbers and like, how far along are we to, you know, we had time to kill at our jobs. And so she's doing her head count and I'm like, I'm doing mine. And I go, oh my gosh, I haven't kissed anyone in 3 years. And I was like in my 20s. And I go, oh, that's crazy. Got to rectify this weekend. That's insane. But like, yeah, I just, Summer Walker's album just came out and it's just like fraught with drama. And I actually love her album and I love her voice. It's fraught with like tales of her, how painful her life has been with her baby daddy and stuff. And I'm like, none of that sounds appealing for me to live. I can learn from all of your mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to live that.
I get that.
Yeah. I've talked to guys for a long period of time and been like, you're not my person.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But like, yeah, been not committed to anyone since I was in sixth grade for those 3 days. And now.
Yeah.
God, you're truly free. Maybe that's the lightness I see from you as somebody who has not been fucked up by a man, honey.
No.
You were living your life. Nobody was in your head, honey. You didn't listen to Ani DeFranco with a certain emotion underneath. And that's what I'm seeing.
For the listeners, she's not talking about me. She's talking about the before times.
To be fair,
these men, let me tell you one thing about them, though. They will, in dating, they will find a way to fuck with your head, even if you're not formally tethered to them. Let's be clear here. Nevertheless, they persist. I am a free bird. I'm still free. Love my man. Free as can be.
Okay, now that is a perfect time to take a break. That's a gorgeous outro. And then we're going to come back and help you handle your scandal.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey y'all, let me talk to you for a minute about underwear. Yes, that's what I wanna talk about. Now, I don't know about you, but my underwear drawer is the Wild West. I've got 12 different brands, 4 different fits, half of it ain't comfortable. I don't even know where I got most of them. I open my underwear drawer in the morning and I'm like, what do we have here? And these are items I purchased for myself. How did I let it get so bad? How? Well, I'm telling you right now, I am getting myself together with the help of MeUndies. Now that I felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, they're all I'm reaching for in the underwear drawer. I got the cheeky briefs. This is the ones I bought. The cheeky briefs in a fun tartan plaid print. And I'm addicted. I'm addicted. They're made from sustainably sourced beechwood fiber and have a flexible, no-roll waistband that keeps them in place all day long. Thank you. Comfort and fashion. There are so many undies to choose from all black classics to fun, expressive prints. MeUndies has a look for everyone, and they come in sizes ranging from extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. Thank you, MeUndies, for the range. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug. It's breathable. It's stretchy. It's ideal for all-day wear. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, okay, Naomi, I have enough underwear, well, guess what? MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And they even have an activewear collection called Move Me, which is the softest activewear on the market. So get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back. We've got Ego Odom here, honey, mozzarella stick queen.
By the way, you just said this offhanded, but I think there should be an actual federal mozzarella stick day.
Okay, the way they have donut day and pizza day.
I think they should. I think it's time. We've waited long enough. The fact that, I mean, the number of national days there are for bullshit things, mozzarella sticks deserve, they should get their due.
Yes. Yeah. Let's be honest. The government's not going to do anything else at this point for us.
This is why I don't think you have a hopeful core. Like when you say stuff like that.
But I hope that
look, he's
class,
trying to turn switch.
An organic intellectual will come from the working class and lead a socialist revolution. We get questions from Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, of course, our favorite, the voicemails.
Ooh. You got to give us a call, honey, because I love to hear the emotion in your voice. 323-524-7839. One of 3 phone numbers I have memorized. Give us a ring and let us know where you're at.
Me, your mom.
And this.
And this. All right. Here we go.
Hi, Naomi and Andy and guests. Sorry, I just tried to call and then accidentally hung up on myself. So strong start. Don't say that either. I am a late 20s person, slightly butch femme person. Anyways, oh boy, do I adore y'all and probably you two guests. I'm calling because I'm in a pickle. I have a new friend, the best friend of someone at a wedding I went to the other month. And I've gotten hot feelings. And we met about a month ago and have worked our way up to texting every day. Astounding for me, a serial non-responder, and I think it may be mutual. The thing is that they got out of a fairly long-term relationship recently, and they moved out of the apartment they shared with that person at the end of June, early July. Now, I don't want to rush them or anything, but also I've never been in a relationship. This is the first time I actually want one. Do I need to give them more time and let them take the lead? Or do I go ahead with the conversation anyways, in the words of Amy Bryant last week, have a real ass, burn it down conversation anyways. Okay, I think that's it. All right, thank you for listening. I hope y'all have a lovely day and wishing you ease and rest.
Okay, Andy, you don't even like listen to these whole things, and you get the perfect question for every guest.
It's
wild.
I listened to the first like 20 seconds of stuff.
I mean, Andy Bryant, an SNL question for an SNL person.
And then at that, it's about having been single and not wanting to be in a wow.
Wow. You do that. You have, it's an alchemy.
Maybe that like after being in therapy for so long, I just have a natural empathy with the universe. And
with the universe.
Having that empathy of the universe, then
you can hear it. Yes. Okay. Yeah. You're a medium, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I look. I don't want to be like
a conduit.
I don't want to be self-aggrandizing, but maybe I am a medium for the voice of the universe. I don't know. A god in some way. Maybe. I don't know.
Yes. A god. I'd say god.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll
okay. Great. So you said
that.
It. Yeah. You said it. So he didn't have to.
So okay. So she caught feelings for someone that that she met at a wedding.
Right. And now they're like texting daily. It's like really kind of heating up. And she's like, I would love to be in a relationship. But this person is like,
just got out of one.
Yeah, just got out of one. Also just got done with living with that person. So it's not just a plain old breakup. It's like I had to move my items and start a new life.
And this would be their first relationship.
Yes. And so she's basically like, should I just be real and just be like, hey, I'm trying to get with you. Hey, shorty, I'm feeling you. Or just be like, wait for this other person to come and say, now I am ready. What do you think?
I think there might be an option C.
Ooh.
Which is just, okay, well, I don't know. Here's my thing. I'm hearing it. I go, ooh, just out of a relationship, just moved out. I'm thinking trouble in paradise immediately because people need to heal. Then the idea that someone doesn't need to, I don't know the details of this person's past relationship, but chances are they need to heal. They're moving out. They lived together. Like you said, are moving belongings that I imagine that person is going to need space. You don't want to be the rebound is the thing. And you do have to be wary of that, in my opinion. Even if a person's like, I'm ready to dive right in. That makes me wonder, like, why don't you want time to heal, time to yourself? But I do think it's helpful to make your intentions and what you want clear as well. So I wouldn't say like chase this person down, be like, let's do this, but like, hey, you could do a, hey, this is where I am. Can I ask where you are? And then when you get that answer, we hope that they're honest, even a little honest, because sometimes we got to learn to read between the lines, because some people are like worried about hurting feelings. But if you pay attention, people are usually in those conversations letting you know where they're at. And so I'm like, I guess I'm more leaning towards B. Option A. I'm not with the like letting someone else set the pace and you sort of just are along for the ride. I'm not here for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this, though. When I got out of my first long-term college relationship, I was in another long-term relationship like 2 months later. And that one lasted a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do like the idea, and I don't necessarily have a burn it down to the ground conversation, but I like what you said, Echo. Yeah. You know, just casually mention your intentions,
right? Mm-hmm.
You got to mention those intentions.
Yes,
mention those intentions. I love that song.
Yes,
it's a good song. It's a great song.
You have to.
Peebo Bryson's best.
Peebo Bryson. I swear to God. I swear to God. Your references.
And then see if there's like a potential in the future.
Right. Or see if there's any hesitation. Yeah, I think that's right. I think also, what can be tricky, because I'm somebody who like when I was crushing on somebody, it was like so all consuming. And I was so like trying to be around that person, available to that person. And I think one of the ways you can maintain a little balance and kind of take a little bit of the worry off of yourself is to actually like, what were you doing before you were texting this person every day? Go back and do some of that. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean like push them off or play games as much as like, you caught up in something a little bit right now. And I do think there's always, whether this person was out of a relationship or not, I think there's always value in taking it slow and taking the time to see somebody for who they really are and not just like love eyes and, you know, all those things that allow you to have like a healthy, stable foundation. Mm-hmm. That I think it's like, okay, I definitely think also too, if you guys are texting all the time, this whole question of what are you, where are you at? Please don't have it over text.
Yes.
It would be great if you could get together and have a little coffee or something and just be like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. It'll also give you such a much better sense of what they're feeling, being able to see their face and hear their.
Yeah, and read body language. Yeah, that's very good advice. That's very good advice.
Smell pheromones. Well,
you've got to smell pheromones.
You've got to smell pheromones.
You can't do it without smelling the pheromones. Listen, I have a friend who just got married, and I'm sure we'll stay married to this person forever. And she got into that relationship a couple months after being in a long-term one that wasn't great. So I don't think it's impossible. But I think it's good to gauge. It's interesting to like have just moved out with someone. I'm like, I feel like you surely need a reset, but what do I know? I can't. Right, everyone knows themselves better than I know them. So,
right.
Yeah.
Some people also are relationship people, you know, and they're very like, they like to go from relationship to relationship. Like they don't want to be single long. So it's like, you know, and you can also sort that out, but also because this is the callers, this would be the caller's first relation, right? Is what they're saying.
Yes.
So that's why I'm like, cause it's like, you even don't quite know what you want in a relationship or need in a relationship. You know, as somebody who is single for a while, like were there growing pains for you? I go when, as you sort of figured out, oh, what is it to have like a person in my life?
That absolutely. Yeah, it takes, especially like your peers might have figured that out at a much younger age, like being in a long-term 16-year-old relationship or even 20-year-old relationship. But yeah, it took some time to be like, oh, this is what it's like to be in relationship with another person while you have gone on about your days and years just you were just concerned with you and obviously your loved ones, but like I was not in partnership with anybody. So there are growing pains and it is like, oh, how does this factor in to my life and how do I navigate like making space for this person and what works for me and what doesn't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's time.
Yeah. It always takes some time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Andy? We had to figure that out too. Cause you and I, we also met each other both when we were like at points of like change. Like you had left grad school and were going into comedy. I had come back from Australia and was like, I'm really going to give this comedy thing a try. Like we were both just like, we're trying to do us. But then it was also like, I love you. And then it was like trying to figure out how to do both properly.
Yeah. I think our chemistry was so explosive that. I mean, I was not joking.
You are joking, but you're not totally
joking. I'm not. I mean, there was something more like we liked each other on like a personal, like we joked with each other and we had a lot of the same interests and we hated a lot of the same things, which I think is just as important as liking a lot of
the same things.
That's
true.
You gotta hate a lot of the same things too.
True.
I just think there's like some, you know, chemistry. There's something.
I know, but it took us both time. Because
that chemistry was so, like, we were trying to figure it out.
Yes, we bothered to figure out, as I guess what you're saying.
Yes.
Because I definitely know I didn't. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to come to your house and hang out with you all the time. And it's like, bitch, go to an open mic. Work on yourself.
Yeah.
I hated doing that stuff. It was, like, way easier, and it felt like a better, a more obvious investment to invest in another person than myself, if that makes sense, or to invest in a relationship than this business that will probably not work out, you know, that I was always like, okay, what do you want to do, person? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh Lord.
But looking back,
uh-huh,
now think about it. You invested in both.
That's true.
And both have paid dividends. Sorry, Echo, I cut you off. What were you saying?
No, I love, but to what Naomi said, to the point, that was another part of your point that I really enjoyed, which was whatever you were doing before you started texting this person and that they were consuming your thoughts and because you like them and it's exciting, like go back and do more of that. It's like easy to forget. And even that advice, I'm trying to imagine, I'm like, oh, it's even easy. It's truly easier said than done. Cause you are sort of like, what was I doing before? Right? This is like my world has started over and this is all I know. But that is sound advice. I'm a proponent of that, but then in making room for yourself again, regardless of even if you do get into a partnership with this person, you're going to want to make room for yourself. And so mentioning those intentions helpful because it's helpful to them, but it's also helpful to you to keep yourself in check and not get lost in the sauce and
lost kind of carried
by, carried by the waves of romance in a sense.
Lost in the sauce. That's an Aaron Neville.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? Here, let's truly see if the universe has spoken through me, because I picked this one at random. We have not done a DM in a while.
Okay.
So I want to do this one. Comes to us anonymous from Instagram.
Okay.
Hi, Andy and Naomi, longtime listener, first time questioner. I am messaging you for help with my relationship with my sister. Our mother divorced my father when I was one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay.
My sister, 3 years my senior, and I have always been close. Even after getting remarried, I believe I was two, my mother made it a point to keep in touch with our biological father. We lived in the same state for years, and even when moving out of state for my stepdad's job, my mother always forwarded an address and phone number. Now, mind you, throughout my entire childhood, my mother and stepdad never spoke ill of my father. However, my sister and I had a mutual animosity to him because he was always a no-show on visitations, never called, always made promises he didn't keep, such as he would say he sent us something for our birthdays and it would never come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Been there.
He had a pattern of making these promises of presents, yet in truth, we just wanted his presence. Fast forward, I'm 18 and I move out back to my hometown. I decided to give my dad one more chance since I knew he lived about 2 hours away from where I went to college. Our conversation turned into him blaming my mom for not asking his permission to send me away at a young age. Mind you, he never gave a shit about us. I, being the hothead I am, cussed him out and hung up.
We love you, girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that point, I was done. I didn't want to have anything to do with the man. I am now married for going on 20 years with a lovely husband and two children.
Okay.
Still living in the same state I think this man resides in.
Mm.
During COVID lockdown, my sister told me that she had gotten in touch with our father and since has tried to get me to talk to the man. I have went to a therapist to help me cope with his abandonment, and my resentment for this man has dispersed. And to be honest, I just don't want to put in any effort into getting to know him.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know what the man looks like. Of course, I've seen pictures, but I can't even remember him. My issue is that my sister continues to push me to getting to know him. 2 months ago, against my wishes, she gave him my number.
Oh.
Additionally, she gave him my 18 and 15-year-old daughter's phone number.
What?
Well, that's a violation.
She says this was crossing the line. When he called me, I told him he needs to come to terms with that choices in his life, with what they have caused, and this is that he has to let the chance of us having a relationship go.
Mm-hmm.
I have since blocked him, but when my sister got wind of this and when we spoke, she was upset that I don't want to have a relationship with this man. For the past 3 months, after not seeing her for a year due to COVID, she has seen our father, posted things on Facebook several times with pictures of them, yet has not seen me. It's so bad that she and I made plans to meet up and she canceled, saying she was sick, only for me to find out 2 days later that she is 2 hours away from me seeing our father. I don't have a problem with them having a relationship, but I feel like she has made a choice of him over me. This message was longer than I thought it would be. I'm sorry for being so long-winded, but I am so down about this, and I would love your input and, of course, with a pinch of humor to make me feel better. Thank you for everything. Heart emoji.
So, oh my God, I have so many feelings for this. This really, I feel this in my bones. But was there an actual question? And I don't mean that to be shady, but it's like, is she saying, like, what can I do to my sister?
I think the question is, what can I do to my sister?
Well, like, to make her fucking get it.
I don't think the question is, what can I do to my sister?
Say to my sister is what I meant, but, like, yeah, but it's, yeah.
Yes, I invite her over and create a Home Alone type trap?
Exactly. A series.
So a paint can hits her in the head.
Exactly. Yeah. And knocks her to her damn senses.
Naomi, I believe you were the... of the three of us, you had the most emotional reaction. So why don't we start with you?
Look, someone with an estranged father, with also half siblings who have a different view of him than I do. And also that feeling that this person said, well, like, you know, I just don't want to put in the effort. Because again, you know, she's almost 40, right? If she's talking about like when she was 18, she cussed him out 20 years later. It's like, you know, you are a whole grown adult with a life and a family. And so I personally, like, as somebody who I have not been able to let go of my resentment and anger towards my father, I'm fine with you not wanting to talk to him. Like, I'm like, I get it. It's fine. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think obviously what we're dealing with is like the feeling that your sister has kind of betrayed you and isn't understanding, but like kind of disregarding, because she may totally get it, but she don't care no more. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, what is your sister? I think the conversation, the way you kind of start this, is like, what's going on with her that has suddenly had her so pressed for dad? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, for some people, it was like, you know, there was this pandemic where it was like, you know what? We all about to die. Maybe we need to like get right and reconnect. And, you know, or maybe, I don't know if your sister is in a relationship or has kids or like what's going on there. You know, maybe, because you know, people go through times where they're like, I want more family. I want more of a network. But I think, you know, your sister needs to understand first and foremost that this is not an either or situation. And that she's the one making it either or. You're not telling your sister, don't talk to dad. You're saying, that's not something I want to do,
mm-hmm.
but go about your business. And I think you can also be very honest with her, being like, it really, you know, this is the thing. It's like, it always feels like you are not allowed to show vulnerability. But it's like to say, like, you hurt my feelings. Because I think when we use the phrase, you hurt my feelings, you know, that's not something someone can really argue with. You know, that's not something where you go, but what happened? It's like, you hurt my feelings when you, you know, flaked on me to go spend time with a person who hurt us both for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then see where she at. You know what I mean? Give her some time to have that response. Okay, I'm coming in hot. Ego, you next. You
say no, something. Because I mean, just... it's a little, I think it's going to have to be Andy, because I don't have a relationship with my dad. And so many, I was like, do she and I have the same dad? So my number was given with, you know, with that, all of yeah. that. So I'm hearing it is her prerogative to not have a relationship with her father. And if she feels like she's let it go. So when you started reading that part of it, and I was like, oh no, she's still holding on to the anger. I'd say, oh no, I don't want that for anyone to be people to live with anger, but it's also their prerogative, even if she were. And so her sister has to understand that that's her choice. Like you said, Naomi, her sister might be in a different place where she's like, you know what? My dad's my dad. And that is some people's philosophies. I have friends whose dads are in their lives, and that's their sort of their dads suck, frankly, but like, it's my dad. Like, and it, really fraught relationships, kind of unhealthy and toxic, but it's like, but it's my dad. But you also get to make a choice concerning any of your parents. Like, this is not a healthy relationship for me. This is not the sort of relationship I'd want. In order to be relationship with you, I'd like to see some accountability. Anyway, he has not demonstrated that. You've made a choice. You've moved on. You are a grown-ass woman with grown-ass kids and chosen not to be in communication with him. Absolute violation. I couldn't even hold back my reaction. Giving the children, giving her the children's number to the dad. That's really, insane. That's
so beyond insane. The pale.
That's wild. So I'm sorry. I want to say, I'm sorry your sister did that. Sorry you're feeling like it's either or, because again, just piggybacking on what you said, Naomi, it's not either or. It is your choice. Your relationship with your sister is separate from that of her relationship with your father.
Right.
And it can be, both can exist should she want a relationship with your father. As you have not said to her, you shouldn't have one with dad. It's her free will to do so. You're allowing her that. And so she should allow you to not have one and to force like whatever narrative. I also sometimes think people are like living in a movie concerning like their parents. This is a passion of mine. Like, we're not living in a movie. Your parents aren't superheroes. God bless them all. But like, they're not superheroes. They're but human. And you can decide if like this human is the kind of human I want to be in relationship with. If this human reflects the values that matter to me and the kind of values I want to see demonstrated by a person I want to be in relationship with. And so your sister might be living in this fairy tale. It's like, but it's dad. It's gotta be, it's dad. He's our dad. And I, as a person, much like, I'm like, what does that question, what does that even mean?
Mm-hmm.
But again, her right. Total violation. You should let your sister know it is, again, not an either or situation. I'm sorry that happened. It sucks to feel like you don't have a relationship with your father. You've come to terms with that and made peace with it. But now as a result of that, you don't have a relationship with your sister who you'd otherwise been close with. Yeah. That really sucks. And so I think expressing vulnerably, this hurt my feelings. It really feels bad. Is probably the very next step. Feels like anything else, even judgment to be like, this was inappropriate or that was inappropriate or that sucked, isn't necessarily going to get you further, but might right. just draw away. If your goal and hope is for reconciliation or to restore your relationship with your sister, then I think the best thing to do is to be like, this all really hurts.
Yeah. And also, you know, again, I don't know. It's like you can, you know, I think especially to that thing with the children where it's like, these are my kids. And if they come to me saying, I would like to meet my grandfather, then I will decide when and how they connect with that person. It's not on you to give their number to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like that needs to just be shut the fuck down instantly.
Shut the hell down.
It's like a how.
Shut the damn down.
Shut the damn down. And I think also too, you know, it's interesting because you say like a movie with regards to your parents. I also wonder too, and this is why I think y'all just need to have a conversation that I don't know if you've had, is that, you know, when it comes to family and siblings, sometimes people still see us. We all see each other the way we were when we were little. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, I wonder if part of your sister being this way, meaning like choosing dad over you or not telling you, is because when y'all grew up, y'all didn't like him. And when y'all grew up, it was y'all against him. Mm-hmm. And now that she is trying to talk to him, she thinks, oh, okay, then that makes it them against you. Or, because that's how it was when you were like 12.
I wonder if like the sister, like, okay, so the Anonymous has a family. Yeah. I wonder if the sister has a family.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah, where
right?
where Naomi said it, wonder where she is in her like in her life that she all of a sudden wants this relationship and it means so much to her enough to like damage her relationship with her younger sister.
Right.
And you said something about seeing each other like we were as kids. Like Anonymous is the younger sister, sister, right? So even I imagine there's some portion of her older sister, I imagine potentially just being like, that's my little sister. She doesn't, you know, it's up to me to lead by example. And this is what needs to happen. This is the right thing at this point. We're older and I'm her older sister. That's little sister. But little sister's grown with her own family and husband and, you know.
But y'all just got to get, it's like, hey, like we're not kids anymore. I'm not 18. I'm not looking to cuss him out, but I'm also not looking to make friends.
Yeah.
And let's just, you know what I mean? And you know,
Real Housewives situation.
I was truly just about to say that's your Real Housewives whole like intro. That's the like opening credit line.
It's just like, yeah, you guys have that conversation because it really does hurt that she would not see you. And it's like, and obviously you guys aren't, there's something that's not being spoken about between y'all because y'all got to get,
Yeah, something's going on. Maybe it's like on Gilligan's Island, the sister, a coconut fell on the sister's head.
Mm, okay, that's a very good point. She could have had a coconut on the head.
You don't even know. But if you don't have the conversation, you won't know. You won't know.
You don't know if she put the lime in the coconut. As the song goes. Oh, my Lord. Ego, my angel, this was very good.
What a treat and a delight. And I shared more about my life than I ever have. I will immediately go be anxious in a corner and say, oh,
I'm don't you dare.
I'm kidding.
You dare. Don't you. God damn it. Don't you dare. By the way, that second question, did the universe speak through me, guys?
I think so, yes. You.
No,
you
legitimately, are. I was like, who is this person is related to me? but yes, absolutely. No, and I won't. This was really lovely. And in fact, my favorite kind of conversations are real ones such as these and where I get to like have people be vulnerable and express vulnerability. And I'm call me sick. I'm a Pisces. So I'm all like, let's talk about our feelings.
I'm call a Pisces. Our, let's that talk about our California.
Stop. No. Fuck.
Okay. Astrological signs.
No. Okay. Anyway. And on that note, I go deemed the California girl.
We adore you. We appreciate you so much for coming through. We've been trying to book you for ages, and you just be out here busy, and so we're so appreciative.
I'm so grateful. Thank you for having me. I'm really glad we could work it out. You guys are so lovely. Thank you.
You're the best. All right, you guys.
All right. We'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.